This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
I think the position player core in this offense, can pick up the slack. He's going to stay back in Florida. He's taking, he took simulated at-bats yesterday, hit very well, but he will start the season on the IL, which will be a minimum of 7 days missed. We're going to try to get him out there as soon as possible. I think, he kind of picked up where he left off. He really knows how to pitch, and that's nice. He presents some upside for us, so we wanted to start him out in the rotation and see where he takes us.
Bit of an unplanned circumstance that he had to spend so much time at shortstop because of the Gunner injury, preparing for some early season use there. We'll see what we end up doing, but we obviously wanted to make that an option. Hopefully that doesn't interrupt his second base development too much, because that's ultimately where we're going to have him playing the majority of the year. Every year, every offseason, we're going to have different roster construction, different types of contracts. We have a lot of our payroll in the pitching staff because our position players are all drafted and young guys that are still working their way up.
It's Mike Elias, Orioles general manager, talking about the makeup of the team in regards to payroll, most importantly. And you have some position players on short-term deals. You have position players, Ryan Mountcastle, Cedric Mullins, heading into free agency here within the next year or two. So you're going to have to worry about that. Certainly the contract extensions to Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman, among others. But the rotation, Eplin, heading into free agency. Charlie Morton, one-year deal. Sagano, one-year deal. Kyle Gibson, whenever he shows up, probably in May, one-year deal. So a lot of short-term contracts, a lot of money invested into the staff, and not to mention Dominguez is a free agent, Soto's a free agent in the bullpen after this season. A lot of age in the starting rotation, which we'll get to here in a few minutes. So Mike Elias, maybe it's not like the Ravens, for instance, an in-it-to-win-it scenario, but this seems more like with the rotation, because Bradish, Wells, Grayson all hurt. Young, controllable players. We got to make do with what we have. And he mentioned Cade Povich right there in the clip too, who's going to be the fifth starter, going to start the home opener next week against the Red Sox at Camden Yards. And Cade Povich, after a shaky beginning, pitched well in September and has been outstanding in spring training, and he earned the spot. And as we've talked about with everyone down in Florida who's joined the program, Albert Suarez is a swing man. He can pitch out of the bullpen. He can start for you, as we saw multiple times last year, out of necessity because of injuries there. But Povich is a starter. So don't tweak him. Keep him in a role he's comfortable with and, quite frankly, has pretty much excelled in. We also heard Mike Elias talking about Jackson Holliday. Now, this one's trickier. You heard Mike Elias say, and only get in here too, Jackson Holliday is going to be our second baseman because the guy that plays shortstop for us is one of the best players in baseball. Jackson Holliday, one of the top prospects in baseball, hasn't proven himself to be that guy yet. But Gunnar Henderson's going to start the year on the IL. There's no certainties that Jorge Mateo even comes from Florida to Rogers Center Thursday. So Jackson Holliday, shortstop by trade. He's going to be there in all probability Thursday afternoon and maybe through the weekend against the Blue Jays. But as Mike Elias said, hopefully this doesn't stunt his growth as a second baseman. Jackson Holliday just turned 21 years old. It's not like you're teaching an old dog new tricks. I think there's plenty of time for him. And as Mike Bordick has told us many times, his evolution as a second baseman is night and day from where it was a year ago. So he's going to be your second baseman, but he's comfortable at shortstop. Apparently he's making all the plays. You got to do what you got to do. Improvise and adapt. And hopefully it's a short-term thing because Gunnar might miss the first week of the season. Definitely going to miss the first 7 days. But we expect him back. Now others, Grayson Rodriguez in particular, who knows with that. But we want to see Jackson become more adept at second base. If Jorge Mateo was probably healthy from the jump, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But you got to do what you got to do. And let's put him out there and see what he can do. Maybe he feels more comfortable, helps his offense, and he rakes a little bit. Inevitably, he's going to be at second base.
It could be. I'm still a little surprised by it, and nothing's official, but just to hear him talk about it, for them to play him that much over the past couple weeks at short, I was a little surprised by that because, I don't know, I tried to take a simplified view to it. You knew you were going to be without Gunnar, but it's only going to be a short-term thing. I mean, if this was a multiple-month thing, then sure, hey, put the kid back at his natural position and let him settle in. But for a week, 2 weeks tops, I don't really see the benefit to moving not just one guy around. Now you're moving three guys around. He's going from second to short. Presumably, you're going to have Westberg go from third to second, and then Arias is going to be your third baseman. I would have thought it would have been much more simple to just plug and play Arias at short because he can play all four infield spots. Now, how well, that's a different question. Maybe they value the overall defense of this combination a little bit more, but Mateo or not, I thought it was pretty simple to put Arias right there at short.
And Westberg was drafted as a shortstop himself and played there as well. But, you know, I'm not going to question the genius of Mike Elias. Certainly not going to question management there with Brandon Hyde. Other than what we've seen on TV, Masson, and limited innings, we're not there. We have no idea what's going on in the side fields and how they're adjusting the things. Gunner's coming back, and he's going to shortstop, and he's going to be either at the top or in the middle of the lineup. We know that. But Jackson Holliday, opportunity to show what he can do and show a little more positional versatility. There was talk that they might move him to the outfield eventually. So
I agree with Norm. I totally agree with Norm. Just because of what Elias said, we hope we don't hurt the development of Jackson at second base. And I agree with you. I mean, if Gunner's going to be back April 3rd, you know, what's the sense?
But, or they expect there could be a longer absence.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that too, Bob, because they probably say that, you know, if he tweaks it again, then he may be out six more weeks. And then the other question I had from what Elias said, Bob, about Gibson. All right, why didn't you sign him earlier, you know, when Rodriguez first got hurt, you know, so then he's even ready earlier. Did you learn something about Rodriguez where he's at so you had to go get a guy
for May? You know, I mean, that was my question.
You said it yesterday. Grayson throwing a pitch in anger for the Orioles. I don't think they can give you an exact date. We had Rich Dubrow up yesterday and BaltimoreBaseball.com, and he was there all spring. Optimistic return is May 1st. And he was long tossing yesterday in Washington. But then again, Felix Bautista was long tossing at Fenway Park in 2023, and he wound up getting Tommy John surgery. And this isn't the shoulder. It's not the lat. It's the elbow. Now, was it the tweakage of the delivery to prevent the other stuff that led to this? I'm going to go old man on you. Famously, Mark Fidrich hurt his knee shagging flies in 1977 at spring training. And to alleviate the pain in his knee, because he came back too soon, because he was one of the biggest gate attractions, he pitched to Baltimore, 40,000 people showed up.
The bird.
Yeah. He tweaked his delivery and wound up tearing his labrum, which ended his career. Not saying one's connected to the other, no pun intended. Even Brandon Hyde said, I don't think we can really say that with any great certainty, but he's never had elbow problems before. And this one came up kind of rapidly.
Bob, this kind of does this remind you of Cole last year?
Garrett Cole?
Yeah.
I think there was more concern with him at the time, which of course is now played out.
Yes.
But Grayson, I'm real, like Bradish last year. PRP.
Yep.
UCL. And I'm like, this seems like a ticking time bomb. I don't think we've gotten to that level with Grayson Rodriguez, but I'm not expecting him to pitch anytime soon, hence the Gibson signing, and a guy that's not even going to be able to pitch himself until May. They optioned him to minors yesterday, so he's going to start in Florida, and when he comes back, nobody knows, which is a nice lead-in, because by the way, bottom of the hour, we're going to do our predictions for the Orioles pitching staff, but Holiday, least of my concerns. Grayson Rodriguez, right now to me, number one concern, because if he can't go this year, your ace, number one potential guy, you're not going to see him again until next season. And what are you getting when he comes back?
Right, and you have to wait at the earliest until the deadline to try to acquire one. And you know you're not going to get an early jump on that. It's not like a team's going to be selling a true ace in the middle of June. You know, you're going to have to wait right up until that deadline. So question is, can you make it till then? Can you be at the top of the division or at least just a few games back at that point where you're within striking distance?
Where you count on the offense and your main cog on the offense.
Gunner.
Going to start on the IL. Yeah. I mean, and Santander's going to be playing against you on Thursday and through the weekend at Rogers Center. Mountcastle had a great spring. Kowser had a great spring. Rutschman had a great spring, which is awesome. They don't count. Now it starts counting 307. On Thursday against the Toronto Blue Jays. But Boston's banged up in their rotation. Tampa's banged up in their rotation. The Yankees are banged up in their rotation. Who's the healthiest team heading into the beginning of the season? And quite frankly, on paper, it's the team the Orioles open the season with, the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, we'll do our predictions, start with them anyway. Bottom of the hour, Orioles rotation. For instance, lowest earned run average, most wins, most saves, most appearances, and all of that bud stuff. Maryland women. We'll get more into this during the whip. They win in double overtime, coming back from 17 down to stun Alabama. They advance to the Sweet 16 for the fourth time in 5 years. Of course, the Maryland men, they win dramatically on Sunday night against Colorado State. So I don't think it's an egregious statement to say that the Maryland women and the Maryland men have played the two most exciting games of their respective tournaments. So far, Maryland women, four-time, five-year Sweet 16. Maryland men, first time in 9 years. So a lot of dancing shoes still going on in College Park. NFL draft, month from today, first round. Cam Ward trying to solidify his spot.
I watched it.
With the Tennessee Titans.
I watched his workout last night. He was impressive, Bob. I mean, the quickness he can throw with, the arm angle he throws with and stuff. I mean, if they
are they locked into a quarterback,
I would say that if they don't take him, they're crazy.
Got draft profiles coming up, going to the D-line today. News for the Nets coming up at noon. Chip Patterson, we haven't talked to him in a while, CBSSports.com. Talk about the Sweet 16 and all of the zaniness that is going on with that, the coaching carousel and everything involved. Speaking of the Rays, Neil Solins, Rays Radio, talk about their prospects here in the tough American League East. They don't even have a home field. Sweet 16, men, Maryland, Florida, that's 7:39, TBS, True TV. But most importantly, you can hear it, 105.7, the Fan, Florida, 6.5. And that one, this lines, of course, according to ESPN Bet. BYU in Alabama, that's 7:09 on CBS, Crimson Tide, 5.5. Arizona Duke, 9:39 CBS, that's the East Regionals. Those games are played in Newark, the East. Duke, 9.5-point favorites there. And then Arkansas, Texas Tech, second game out west as Maryland, Florida, Texas Tech, Arkansas. The winners will get together on Saturday, 10:09. Texas Tech quietly having a brilliant season. They are 5.5-point favorites over the Arkansas Razorbacks, who have stunned a lot of people getting this far. Some of us had them losing to Kansas in the first round. Yeah. And then spanking St. John's in the round of 32. So they are ready to rock and roll. But for Maryland, it's going to be a tall order. We'll break down the game through the next couple of days. Of course, talk about Chip Patterson, top of the hour. Kind of have the wizard, Walt Williams, on Thursday to preview things. But said it yesterday, and this is just me speaking for me, Vinny and Haney, Nolan, Bob, Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Anything they accomplish after this, gravy. Because they're underdogs now. They played to their seed as favorites. Didn't cover the spread, but they were the fourth seed in their region. They made it to the Sweet 16, which by seed means they were one of the 16 best teams in the country and got there. Now you beat Florida, most people are going to be surprised. Not an impossible task, but if Maryland wins, I picked Florida to beat Maryland when me and Jimmy Patsos did our brackets last week. Want Maryland to win, and I'll probably be pissed if they lose. Then, you know, cooler heads will prevail. You look at the season in totality and go, all right, this is cool. But now it's like, unless Texas Tech gets upset by Arkansas, Maryland's going to be underdogs the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. So now you're overachieving things. You buying that logic, Nolan, or you're like, screw you, let's tip it up and see how things go.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I think that's totally fair. I mean, had UConn pulled off that upset there and you're matching up against them, well, that could be a little different.
Maryland's 5-point favorite.
Yeah, but they are back-to-back defending champs, sure. So there'd be a little juice there, but I see your point.
Yeah. Play to your seed, which they've done. Now you're exceeding. Hey, they were the 10th pick in the league preseason. Now they're one of the 16 teams left in the country.
But they've got a starting five that can compare with Florida.
They
just got to play.
And they've got an advantage in the front court.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's shocking but not shocking if Maryland wins. I mean.
No, absolutely. If anyone wins this tournament, Arkansas would probably be a stunner to some level, even though they're getting healthier, but they have a national championship winning coach. I don't think BYU, I guess, would be like, where the hell did this come from? You know what I mean? Even though they've been talented and been playing well down the stretch, I don't think anyone really winning would be on the level of Villanova beating Georgetown 40 years ago or NC State, Houston. I don't think it would be on that level, but no surprises are what they are. We've talked about it yesterday. We'll talk with Chip. There's no Cinderellas left. It's all Power Five schools just kind of rolling through, and let's be honest. We like our upsets early in the tournament, but when it comes down to the meat and potatoes, we want the fancy names to compete. And if Maryland's one of those fancy names, which they are, it makes it even sweeter. No pun intended.
Well, I know Seth Greenberg's got Florida winning the whole thing, you know, from ESPN.
Well, good
you know,
for
he
him.
Thinks they're the best team in basketball, but that's why you play the games.
And Kenny Smith, who's played in NCAA tournaments, has Maryland getting to the Final Four.
Nice.
So it's all about opinion. It's all it is. Orioles, the opinion of Pecota was they were going to win the American League East. This was prior to injuries, but the Yankees are banged up too. We're doing our predictions for the Orioles pitching staff, bottom of the hour. But if you want to get in with some early ones, like I'm not going to do mine till Thursday, like the Orioles MVP in 2025. It's not really a surprise, but it's not who you expect to be it, even though him winning it would kind of, if you just pick up what I'm putting down here, everybody. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Bob and Vinny, man. How y'all doing?
Good. Where's Dustin, man? I don't want no trouble today.
He's at work, man, working hard. You know, he does work hard, know, Monday through Friday. No just doubt. The weekends, he acts out a little bit, you know.
I got you.
But, it just feels good, man, you know, because first off, we have, you know, the start of football season. We ain't worrying about the Ravens. It's about the Orioles for the past couple seasons, you know, in the playoffs. And then, you know, we have the start of baseball season, and we're still talking about the Terps, man, almost, you know, on opening day and probably well into April, hopefully. You know,
you can multitask. See, I'm one of these Baltimore sports fans that can care about all three at the same time. Ravens open their season. The Orioles are in their pennant drive. You can be interested in follow both. And the Terps in the Sweet 16, Orioles start their season the same day they play. Yeah. You can follow both. There doesn't have to be one takes priority. That's what separates us from the other.
Hey, can you ever picture a time, though, when it's January, the Ravens are getting ready for their wild card, the divisional game, and we're talking about the Terps football, though, in that bowl game, though?
That one might be something we still need some time on. You know, let's get the 9 wins in a regular season before it's talking about, you know, Terps in a championship setting. And that's the one thing, and I've said it before, born and raised here, I'm 60 years old. Orioles have won World Series. Terps won national champions, men and women. Ravens have won multiple Super Bowls. I was alive for the Colts when they won Super Bowl V. We've had multiple boxing champions, world champs. Maryland's never sniffed a national championship of football. They've had really good teams and really good players, but they've never realistically competed for a national title. And, you know, call me a cynic, I don't see that happening this year.
Yeah, me either, man. But, you know, hopefully one of these days when our grandchildren can witness that, though. But, hey, man, on to the Orioles real quick in the rotation, right? So I see we got Effner starting first game. So I'm assuming it's going to be Kramer game two.
Morton.
Morton game two, and then Kramer, and then
Hyde hasn't announced. Well, Povich is 5, which will be the opener against Boston. He hasn't announced if it's Kramer or Sagano on Saturday yet.
Right. Okay, so
could be one of those guys.
When Gibson gets healthy and get ready, where does Gibson fit in this rotation?
It's a good question. If the 5 that are already there are performing well, he'll be a bullpen piece.
Mm,
by the way, when they went to the playoffs in 23, he was pitching out of the bullpen. He wasn't even in the rotation anymore. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh. Okay, well, and we still got Wells coming back off the IL from time this year, too. So that'll be a nice bullpen piece, though.
I don't know.
You're not holding Wells?
Tommy John.
Oh, yeah, Tommy John's. Oh, okay.
Well, his wasn't as like Tommy Johnny as Bradish's was.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned if either one of those guys are pitching late in the season. Be great if they were, but I'd hold my breath.
But, you know, like I said, I like to pick up a Gibson, man. 1 year, just $5 million, man, you know, for a veteran guy like that that knows the team, knows the system. So, you know, I like to pick up, you know, in case, you know, someone goes down as usual. Seems like that's what's been happening lately. And don't forget, we still got Suarez, too. So that's going to be a key.
There you go. All right, Rashawn. Rashawn, he can't follow 3 teams at the same time for some reason.
And his Cowboys, too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. With the team. Something tells me that's the team he really cares about the most. And boy, if they ever get like playoff good, I don't know, man. I don't know where his allegiances lie with the Ravens and Cowboys.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about it for a while.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, the Ravens, as we said, Super Bowl or bust. Dallas, it's like, come on. Finish like 3rd in your division or something. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Speaking of the Orioles rotation, staff in general, we're going to do our predictions early on, 2 days away from opening day. Vinny's draft profile number 1 takes us to Texas A&M on the D-line. Stay tuned for that. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, talk about the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16, a lot of SEC teams, and 4 Big Ten teams. Hey, bring it on.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Orioles open their season Thursday, 3:07, taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. The premiere of Baltimore baseball tonight. is Friday. Me and Ryan Ripken get you ready from 12 to 2. Stay tuned for that. Next week, Monday, we'll be at Oriole Park Camden Yards. Pickles, return to Pickles. The Crush Bus. Haven't seen the Crush Bus since what? October, before that dreadful series against the Kansas City Royals in dreadful weather. By the way, I saw weather forecast that it's supposed to rain on Monday. Yeah. Come on, man. Why can't we just get something like today? Come on, baseball people. Let's get this weather rolling. We got to get the Crush Bus and everything going on at Pickles ready to rock and roll.
78 degrees, though, Bob, Monday.
In Baltimore.
Yeah. 78, 50% chance of rain.
Oh.
It's going to be awesome.
So 78's awesome, 50% chance of rain, not awesome.
Yeah.
Crammed inside Pickles, which is going to be asses and elbows. And right, Nolan? How awesome is that going to be?
Tuesday, a lot of elbow 56. Room back here at the studio.
Yeah.
I'll be enjoying that.
Oh, that's right. You're not going.
Executive bathroom.
Yeah.
Every bathroom is an executive bathroom when no
day.
One's here.
somebody still manages to piss all over the floor. It's crazy. But opening day is one of the rare occurrences down at Pickles where I can't have a cold one because I get boxed into the booth and you can't get out and go to the bathroom.
No.
And at 60, you know, the kid starts drinking. The kid's got to pee every 20 minutes. And, you know, they're just like, I'll just pass and wait till I get home. But anyway, enough of that. Baseball starts this week. We'll start with the Orioles pitching real quick. Couple predictions. And we'll start with Nolan, then Vinny, and then myself. Who will lead the Orioles starters in innings pitched? I'm not going to pick a number because 200, it used to be 300. 200's kind of the benchmark. That's more of a Burns area sort of innings level. But Nolan McGraw, as we sit here on March 25th, 2025, who will lead the Orioles starters in innings pitched?
I'm going to go with, I guess, a chalk answer here, the easy answer, but I'm going to go with Zach Eflin. And he's now assumed that number one starter role with Grayson Rodriguez's injury. And I don't think that's necessarily, well, it's bad that Grayson's hurt, but having Eflin as one of your front end guys, it's not the end of the world. I mean, he's pretty proven at the major league level. You kind of know the baseline you're going to get out of him. Previous high water marks for him, 170, 165. So, I mean, if your guy that's going to lead the way is only 160 to 165, it could be more about the collective effort. But I'll say, just without no obvious choice, it's got to be him.
Safe pick.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, not take the quite as safe pick. I'm going to go Kramer. You know, Kramer posts all the time and gets you five. You know, and if he's has no injuries, I say Kramer.
Yeah, I think with him, that's kind of the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, he hits the IL, but his last start, what, he went 5+, 10 Ks a couple of days ago. I'm going to go Charlie Morton. Little old, grizzled, but 30 starts, that's in his DNA. And if he can just hit the post 30 times, I think Charlie Morton will lead the Orioles starters in innings pitched. Who will have among the starters the lowest earned run average? Ooh. Nolan McGraw.
Ooh, this is tricky.
Yes. I'm throwing you a curveball, pun intended.
Right. So maybe more of a workload.
We'll go with at least 15 starts. Does that qualify?
Yeah.
According to our little rules here.
I mean, I'm not going to
even though I haven't paid either one of you guys for your booze yet, but we'll get into that later.
Well, it's all going straight to Vinny.
Right.
I mean, you're paying off my debts in addition to your own. But I'm not going to get too goofy here, but something is telling me Sagano. I don't know, just the wild card, the new guy, what can he do? I mean, maybe even if he gets off to a rough start to the year, if he's able to be healthy for a full 162, then he could straighten it out at a certain point. I just really like what everything I've read about him, the brief appearances we've seen from him on TV. Looks like he's composed and ready to go, whereas the Eflins, the Mortons, even Kramer, you know, sure, they could throw 160, 70 innings, but ERA's in the high threes at best four, you know, over four. It's looking more realistic.
I'm going to take a long shot. Rodriguez, that he's back, because if he's back, then and if he can get back in
15 starts,
yeah, sure. I'll take Rodriguez.
I'm going to go Cade Povich.
Ooh, nice.
I think the young lefty has found himself as a pitcher. I think I don't know. That left field wall moving in as a lefty might affect him to some level. Sagano, though, man, he keeps the ball on the ground. But I'm going to go with Cade Povich. And I'm not saying it's going to be a 1.8. Let's not get crazy. No. But a 3-2 somewhere. Right. It's like Burns was sub 3. I don't know if any Oriole pitcher will have that. But I'm going to say Cade Povich will have the lowest starter's earn run average in 2025. We got more of this to go as the week progresses, next couple of days. But Charlie Morton's going to lead the team in innings pitched. Would you say Sagano?
That's for ERA.
Lowest to earn run average. I got we got all of it. I'll go Povich there, et cetera, et cetera. Eplin and Vinny's got Grayson Rodriguez coming in with the lowest earn run average, assuming he hits the post at least 15 times. We'll come back, get back to the NFL draft. We're going to Texas A&M, College Station, and on the D-line. Stay tuned for that. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, talks to March Madness men's side at 11.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
How will Green respond? His look shaky here. In trouble and sacked. Back at the 10-yard line, Nick Scorton.
Nick Scorton, NFL Draft starts in less than a month. April 24th, Ravens have 11 picks in said draft. They could use all the pass rushing help they can get. And today on our draft board, we go to College Station, Texas A&M with Vinny Serrato.
Yeah, Nick Scorton, Texas A&M, jersey number 11, 6'3", 257, a junior. 33-inch arms, which is okay. 10-inch hands. Now, he started at Purdue. He went to Purdue for 2 years. And then he got paid to go to Texas A&M. Coach left, so on. So NIL. He started at Purdue his freshman year. He had 22 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. Then in 2023, kind of took off a little bit. 10 sacks, 50 total tackles. And then he got paid. A&M pays big NIL money. So at Texas A&M this past year, he started 12 games. First team All-SEC. 14 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, and 37 total tackles. His strengths, he's got good size, length, quick to close from the backside. He's thick, good initial quicks. He's got a real good motor. Shows speed to get the corner. He can bend the corner. Good athlete. He can stack at the point. Strong lower for the bull rush. Good spin move. He's got agility. Good punch, lockout, shed in the run game. He can drop into coverage. Good spin move, which shows quicks and good hand placement. Good pass rush moves. Good play strength. He's got heavy hands. Heavy hands is when you punch, you know, you deliver a blow with your hands. Weakness, he's just flat out speed. He didn't do anything at the combine, so he doesn't look like he's a burner type guy. He'll lunge and miss a lot of tackles. He'll lunge, you know, and miss. A lot of times his, you know, your arms are short, but his are just okay. Athletic ability in space. I saw him got juked a few times. You know, he's got to have better base and balance in space. Now, he was 285, and then he lost weight for the combine and stuff. So what is his true weight? You know, if it's at 285, you know, because at the combine, he's 257. So what is he really playing at? Because that'll affect him in the run game. He has some hip tightness. And he'll get pushed by the quarterback instead of bending the corner. He'll need to develop counters when he gets initially stopped. You know, so, I mean, you know, they stop your speed rush, spin back inside. In summary, this kid has some good pass rush moves. Initially, we'll need to work counters more. I like the motor. He has the lower. He has some power. He needs to fix his tackling. Lunges and misses a lot. I like the kid for the Raven. Plays hard. Can play the run. Has some good pass rush moves. More of a second-round guy, though.
Yeah, Nick Scorton, rated number 4 defensive end by Mel Kiper in his latest positional rankings.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of edge rushers and stuff. I mean, I think we've done 10, and they're all probably going in the top 2 rounds. So there is depth there. So you can get a guy, you know, in the second round. And you get quality in the second round. And you know, this guy, Scorton, he's been productive.
You know, he's had 15 sacks the last 2 years. And, you know, I mean, he played for Purdue in the Big Ten with Michigan, Ohio State, those people, and then played in the SEC. So he's played in the two best conferences, and he's had production and just need to figure out what his weight is. But he can play the run, and he does have a motor, which is big.
So if the Ravens draft him, he would be an upgrade over who on the current roster?
He would be a, well, he's not going to be, initially when he comes in, he's not going to be better than Owe or Van Ooy just because of experience, but he would provide some pass rush stuff, probably a better Tavion.
Okay.
Probably that type.
And Tavion, to his credit,
had a hell of a year.
Had a role for sure. We'll stay with defensive line later in the show. We're draft profiles. Going to Ann Arbor, a guy that probably won't be around when the Ravens pick at 27. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. Like in the NCAA tournament where there's all sorts of zaniness that takes place. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. Break down the brackets with him as we head to the Sweet 16. Stay tuned for that. 11:15 is the whip around. And then we'll talk about the Tampa Bay Rays as we go around the American League East as the season starts in earnest. Thursday, Neil Solins from Rays Radio. If I'm picking the division, I'm picking them last. But then again, I've been wrong before.